That's cute. Come on, let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we go to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts, for you are the giver of life, the source of every good and perfect gift, and the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Lord, today we thank you for mothers, for their love, their sacrifice, their patience, and the countless unseen ways they reflect your heart. As your word reminds us, you comfort us as a mother comforts her child. And so we recognize that in their care, we see a glimpse of your own tenderness towards us. We ask you now to strengthen every mother here today. Encourage those who are weary. Give grace to those in demanding seasons. Fill them with your peace, your wisdom, and your joy. Lord, for those who carry sorrow today, for those who've lost mothers, for mothers who've lost children, those who long to be mothers, and those whose relationships with the mother are strained, be near to them, O God. Be close to the brokenhearted. You bind up their wounds. We also lift up our families to you. Let our homes be places of peace, places where your word is honored, where faith is lived out, and where love is not just spoken but practiced. Help us as your people to walk in humility, patience, and kindness, bearing with one another in love. And Lord, in a world that is often unsettled and divided, we ask you for your peace to rest upon our nation. Bring wisdom to our leaders, calm to anxious hearts, and unity where there is division. Let your light shine in the darkness and make us instruments of that light. Finally, Lord, draw us closer to you, root us in truth, steady us in faith, and help us to follow Jesus, not just in word, but in life. We offer all this to you with thankful hearts, trusting in your goodness and mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us this morning. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I got to say happy Mother's Day to my mother-in-law, Dawn. Hi, Dawn. You're the only mother I have left. So you're greatly appreciated. Mother's Day. Let's just say it plainly, moms are built differently. I don't know how else to say it. They can hear a whisper from three rooms away. They know when something's wrong before anyone says a word. And they have the supernatural ability to find things that no one else can find. You can tear the house apart for 20 minutes. Mom walks in, it's right there. And when it comes to finding things, my wife is a savant. I don't know how she does it. I will look, and I know it's right there. It has to be there. And then she finally comes, it's right here. I don't know. They can see stuff we can't see. Here's the truth. There is no more role quietly powerful than that of a mother. Sadly, the most important work often feels the least important. Motherhood is strange that way. You can spend an entire day cleaning, feeding, repeating yourself 47 times, breaking up arguments that started over absolutely nothing, and at the end of the day wonder, did I accomplish anything? Of course, no one hands out awards like, congratulations, you successfully reminded your child to put their shoes on again. And they don't hand out gold medals for locating missing backpacks. But here's what the scripture says. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. God builds greatness out of what feels small. Not big moments, but repeated moments. A mother's love explains the gospel. If you want to understand the love of God, just watch a mother, because a mother loves before it's deserved, gives without keeping score, keeps showing up when it's hard. A mother can be exhausted, frustrated, and at the end of her wits, and still cut your sandwich diagonally because she knows that's how you like it. That's love. It's powerful, it's calming, it's reassuring. You know, Pastor Keith was just talking about the orphanages that we support. The orphanage that we support in Kenya is unique from the other. Most orphanages don't take infants or little tiny ones. The orphanage in Kenya will take them right out of the womb. I mean, so they got little tiny infants and then tiny kids, you know, 10 months old, 12 months old, 14 months old. And it's fascinating. When we were first there, we would notice, I was there with Deanna, Becky, and Keith, and these little ones would just sit there quietly, not crying, not asking for anything. They would just sit there. And I'm thinking, wow, how did they get their kids to behave like that? We need some of that over here. And then they told us the reason they do that is because they have no mothers. They've learned when they cry, no one will come. When they call, no one will pick them up. So they just sit there. I think we're very blessed to have moms in our lives. Then there's the power of a praying mother. There's something powerful about a mother who prays. A mother's prayers can outlive her presence. They echo, they linger, they work in ways you may never see in the moment. There's a story of a young man who had completely walked away from everything his mother had taught him. He wanted nothing to do with faith, wanted nothing to do with church, nothing to do with God. But his mother never stopped praying. Every night, same prayer, same son, same request. Years went by, nothing changed. If anything, it got worse. Then one day, that young man found himself sitting alone. No crisis, no big moment, just quiet. And suddenly, out of nowhere, he remembered his mother praying. Not just the words, but the feeling, the sincerity, the faith. And in that moment, something broke in him. He later said, I couldn't escape it. It was like her prayers were still surrounding me. And he came back to God. What a mother does in prayer is never wasted, even when it looks like nothing is happening, something is happening. And a mother's words can stick. I was just sharing with a group of people over at St. Norbert's yesterday. Some of you have heard this story, but my mother, when we were young, would always encourage us. And the way she would encourage us, she would say, you can do anything because you're a gunger. And we all go, yeah, we can do anything, we're gungers. I was at least 35 before it dawned on me that didn't mean anything. But all my life, when I have struggled the worst, I've had the haunting words of my mother in my head saying, you can do anything. You're a gunger. Let's be honest, motherhood costs something. It costs sleep, energy, personal space. And here's a funny reality. Before becoming a mother, a girl will look into a messy home with kids and say, I'll never let my house get like that. But after she has kids, all she's concerned about at the end of the day is everyone still alive. Love that costs nothing means nothing. Jesus said in John, the 12th chapter, verse 24, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Motherhood is a daily laying down of self. And that is exactly what Christ did for us. Proverbs 31 says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. notice something. It doesn't say they will always appreciate her in the moment. Sometimes that comes later, sometimes much later. Sometimes not until the kids have their own kids. And all of a sudden they go, oh, that's what she was dealing with. So God sees what others overlook. Every meal prepared, every prayer whispered, every tear cried, every sacrifice made is seen by him. And here's the powerful part. God often builds eternal things through ordinary daily faithfulness. Consider the spiritual influence of a mother. Let's look at one of the clearest examples in the scriptures. Paul writes to Timothy, a young man in the church. We read about it in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. So think about this. Timothy became a major leader in the early church. But where did it start? Not in a pulpit, not in a seminary. It started with his mother and his grandmother. What this means is faith is often caught before it's taught. Children absorb what you value, what you prioritize, what you trust, long before they understand anything about theology. They understand examples. You are the first Bible your children will ever read. And trust me, they're reading it very closely. Moms, you might feel like I'm not doing enough. I'm not perfect. I wish I could do more, but listen carefully. Your consistent faith matters more than your perfection. It's not about feeling being flawless. What makes motherhood so powerful is that it is about being faithful. And a mother's love reflects God's heart. One of the most profound realities in scriptures is that God often uses the image of a mother to describe himself. We read in Isaiah 66, verse 13, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. That's remarkable. God says, if you want to understand my heart, look at the heart of a mother comforting her child. Why this matters? Because motherhood reveals something divine, nurturing love, protective instinct, relentless care, and perhaps most importantly, a love that does not quit, even when a child rebels, makes mistakes, goes their own way. A mother's heart keeps loving. And that reflects the gospel itself. Motherhood is sacrificial. And so is the gospel. Let's be honest. Motherhood costs something. Time, energy, sleep, personal freedom, sometimes your very identity. But here's the deeper truth. Love that doesn't cost anything isn't real love. And motherhood teaches that better than almost anything. Jesus said this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life. You see a reflection of that kind of love in mothers every day. We see daily sacrifice, not dramatic, not always visible, but constantly and very deeply Christ-like. It is important, however, to note that Mother's Day is not the same for everyone. So let me speak honestly and pastorally here. To the mothers here, thank you. What you do matters more than you know. You're shaping lives, souls, and futures. But to those who've lost their mothers, there's grief there, memories, both sweet and painful. The Bible says God is near to the brokenhearted. Now, in our chapel, which is just down this hall over there in the corner, it's a pretty little chapel. You should go check it out. We've recently put in a candle station so that people can light a candle in remembrance of a loved one. It's a very healing and cathartic expression. Light is a symbol of God's presence. From beginning to end, light represents God himself. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. The very first act of creation is light breaking into darkness. John, 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life. So when a candle is lit, it's just a visible reminder that God is present, that darkness does not have the final word, that Christ is the light even in grief. And God is pretty big on remembrance. I'd say very big. In fact, every time we take communion, we are reminded of the Lord's words, "Do this in remembrance of me." We're supposed to remember. In the Old Testament, they were continually setting up memorials in memory of something that God had done. Ecclesiastes 3:1, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, and that includes a time to remember. So lighting a candle becomes a physical act that says we remember this life before God. Now, to be clear, we do not light a candle in prayer for someone's soul. Once you die, you die. We do not offer prayers for the dead. But when we light a candle, it's in remembrance of someone. We're making a visible confession of faith that God is light, that he remembers, and that in Christ, life is never extinguished. So if you're in that situation today, maybe you've lost your mom, maybe your mom who's lost a child, maybe just someone significant in your life that you've lost, you know, go back there, light a candle, sit and reflect for a minute. There's soft music playing back there. And it's a very nice, as you saw on the video, place to go and remember. And if you want to get away during the week and come remember, just come to the front and say, "Can I get into the chapel?" And they'll open it up for you. You can just sit there and reflect, pray, whatever. Mother's Day can also be difficult for those who want to be mothers but haven't been able to conceive. A day like today can be hard. Lots of silent disappointments, unspoken prayers. But know this, your life still carries profound purpose and influence. Motherhood is not the only way to nurture life. And there's those who have difficult relationships with their mothers. Not every story is a warm and fuzzy one. Some are complicated. Some are painful. God sees that too, and he brings healing. I'm assuming I don't have another 22 minutes and 36 seconds to talk. Somebody messed up the timer back there. Oh, look at that one. Yeah, you're messing with my head. I distract very easily. I know you've never noticed this before. Mother's Day is a call to honor. The scriptures command us to honor your father and your mother. Notice it doesn't say honor if they're perfect, because no parent is perfect. What it means is respect, gratitude, acknowledging their role in your life, even when the relationship isn't ideal. So there's practical ways you can honor your mom today. Express appreciation, speak kindly to her, show patience, offer forgiveness where it's needed. So at the end of the day, a mother's greatest legacy is not what she achieves, it's in who she raises. And even beyond that is the faith that she passes on. So to mothers, you're doing better than you think. Even if you lost your patience this week, even if you feel like you're behind on everything, even if you don't think you're a perfect mom, don't worry. There is no perfect mom. Besides, if there were perfect moms, your kids would ruin it anyway. So to everyone else, honor matters. Call your mom today. Text your mom. Hug your mom. Don't underestimate the power of a faithful life that she's lived daily, because God uses ordinary faithfulness to produce extraordinary results. At the end of life, people don't talk about titles, achievements, and possessions. They talk about people. And mothers invest in people every single day. What you're doing is not small. It is shaping eternity. So let's close with a special prayer for moms this morning. Lord, we thank you for mothers, for their strength, humor, sacrifice, and faith. Today, encourage them, strengthen them where they are weary, remind them that their work matters deeply, and help us all to honor them well. Amen. Now we're going to celebrate our time of communion together. That's why we're here. We're here because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago. He offered himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And on the night before he was crucified, he gathered with his disciples, gave them bread, says, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. And the same with wine. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. But the Bible says before we take of the sacrament of communion, we should pause and examine our own hearts. So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something that we've done that we shouldn't have done, maybe something that we should have done, but we didn't do it. If we've not loved you with our whole hearts, if we've not loved our neighbors as ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins. And while heads are bowed, people are reflecting. Maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I've never done what you guys are talking about, singing about, celebrating. I've never really experienced Jesus Christ in a personal way in my life. You can right now. In your own words, just whisper to Jesus. Say, Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins. And you can have a new start of faith here this morning. Amen.